This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
4 minutes after the hour, it's Monday, July 26th. Good morning and welcome to Morning Air. I hope you had a great weekend. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us to start your week on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Today is the feast of St. Anne and Joachim, the parents of the Blessed Virgin Mary and the grandparents of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the first weekend of the Tokyo Summer Olympics is in the books. The U.S. has taken the gold medal in swimming, winning the men's 4x100 relay in Tokyo. The U.S. is second to China in total medals, 15-13, only trailing in total number of bronzes. Now, coming up in a few minutes, forensic pathologist Dr. Barbara Golder will join us with the latest on COVID, the variant, vaccines, and immunization. How do you feel about our children wearing masks in school again this fall? We'll talk about it. Corporate entrepreneur Juan Carlos Sanchez will tell us how media technology and the entertainment industry are shaping our families and how Family Playland is a wholesome alternative of entertainment. A little bit later this hour, Bishop Brendan Cahill of the Diocese of Victoria, Texas, will be with us to discuss St. Joseph, a man of dreams, a man of action, especially in this year of St. Joseph. We'll also bring you another episode of Glenn's Story Corner, all that and much more coming up this hour here on Morning Air. Now, we start each hour giving thanks to our Lord through the intercession of the Mother of God, the Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, of life, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, in this year of St. Joseph, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the playbook of life is from Colossians 3:17. The Apostle St. Paul writes, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." St. Paul reminds us that it doesn't matter if you're a lawyer, doctor, mother, or an Olympic athlete. Whatever you do, if you do it for Jesus and for His glory, you're on the right track. There are a number of Catholic athletes at the Olympics in Tokyo who play and compete for an audience of one. That is, they compete not just to impress the worldwide television audience, but they do it for the Lord. You too can sanctify your work, whatever you do, if you do it for the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And we always finish up praying, Jesus, I trust in you. Now I want to talk about COVID, the vaccines, and immunization. Cases of COVID-19 are rising again across our country. With a 7-day average of more than 40,000 new cases a day, that's more than triple the case rate from just a month ago. The CDC is considering revised mask guidance, even for those who are already vaccinated for COVID, as the Delta variant is spreading quickly across the United States. It remains a concern in areas with lower vaccination rates. Americans are also reacting strongly to the idea of new mask mandates like the one in Los Angeles. And how come no one seems to talk about immunity for the millions who have already had COVID-19? Now joining us is Dr. Barbara Golder to talk about the most recent update on COVID-19, the Delta variant, vaccines, immunization, antibodies, and much more. Dr. Golder has worked as a hospital pathologist, forensic pathologist, and lab director. She is now an author, blogger, speaker, in addition to her position as editor-in-chief of the Lineker Quarterly, the Journal of the Catholic Medical Association. Good morning, Dr. Golder. Welcome back to Morning Air. It's great to be with you.
Good morning. It's good to be here. Thank you for having me on.
Dr. Golder, tell us about this new COVID Delta variant that's been spreading all over our nation. Can you tell us what exactly it is and where it came from?
Well, it is a variant of COVID. In other words, it's a mutation of COVID. There's a number of them around. Delta just happens to be one of them, and it's the one that's spreading now. It has changed its genetic component a little bit, so it acts a little bit differently. It's much more contagious. We're thinking that it's about the same virulence, but we'll know better as cases emerge. But the big thing is that it spreads more rapidly and it's more easily contagious, which is a bit of an issue in a country that has so many unvaccinated people.
You say it's more contagious, but the question is it more dangerous? Is it more deadly?
Well, and that's going to be a little bit difficult to assess until we have more data. One of the things that's a very fortunate thing for us is that we do have treatments that we've evolved over the last year, 18 months during the bulk of this pandemic. And that makes it easier for us to take care of people and reduce the seriousness of the illness and the death rate. So we're not really sure about that, but we are seeing something different, and I think it's worth recognizing. In the past, most of the deaths were occurring in older at-risk people. Now we're seeing it in younger people who would not have been considered at risk, and they're getting very sick, being hospitalized, and dying. And these are people who are unvaccinated. Most of the deaths, not all of them, but almost all of them, are in people who have not been vaccinated against COVID. And that's an important fact to take into account when you make your decisions about health.
Especially when you consider that less than 50% of Americans are fully vaccinated, according to the CDC. Is vaccinations enough to stop this Delta variant, or perhaps a booster shot is being considered?
Well, those are two really different questions. One is getting vaccinated in the first place. Yes, that's going to help. And now we're considering whether a booster shot is going to be helpful or necessary to improve the level of protection for people who've already had the first round of vaccine. And scientists are studying that, and they'll come up with an answer. I suspect that a booster shot will be in the making. I suspect there's also going to be different varieties of vaccine. One of the problems we have with the immunity that this vaccine produces is that it doesn't produce immunity in the mucosal surfaces. There are two different kinds of immunoglobulin, one in the general part of the body and then one in the mucosal surfaces, and it's a different one. And this vaccine doesn't stimulate that particular kind of immunoglobulin. So they're looking at nasal vaccines that would do that, and that would actually increase both the effectiveness of the vaccine, but also reduce the incidence of people who have been vaccinated but carry the virus asymptomatically. They don't have any symptoms, they don't get sick, but they carry it and they can transmit it to somebody else.
Want to open up the phone lines if you have a question for Dr. Barbara Golder about COVID, the Delta variant, or the vaccines. Give us a call, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Can you talk a little bit about the symptoms that people are experiencing from this Delta variant? Are they much different, or are they stronger than the original COVID?
It's pretty much the same as the original COVID, although I will say that the people who have been vaccinated do not get as seriously ill as people who've not. So it's basically producing the same kind of illness, but the difference is in who's getting it.
The COVID-19 test, does that detect the Delta variant in a good way?
Well, yeah, they have to subtype it, but yes, we can trace whether it's Delta variant or not.
Now, what about people who have already been infected by the Delta variant? And this is a question that actually I myself have, because I had COVID back in December and just tested for antibodies actually strongly here in July, many months later. A lot of folks are wondering whether or not they still need the vaccine and whether or not they have any kind of protection immunity against the Delta variant.
Well, and I think the antibody test is key to making that decision. The recommendations, the last time I checked, and is that vaccination is still is at least not not something that people who've had COVID should not do, and it doesn't seem to cause them any problems. The worst it does is increase the antibodies. But part of the problem we have is we don't really know the level of antibody that's left after a COVID infection. It seems to depend on a lot of things. There are some people who have a strong antibody response some months later and some who have none. And the whole key of this is how much antibody, circulating antibody you produce. So that's a discussion to have with your physician. And it may or may not make a difference. For example, if you happen to be a healthcare worker, unless you've had COVID, unless you can demonstrate a level of circulating antibody, you may still be obliged to take the vaccine in order to keep your job, because the important thing is not only to protect the healthcare worker, but to protect the patients from getting COVID from the healthcare worker. Because one of the things we're finding is that people who are vaccinated, although they can still carry the virus, they carry it at a much lower rate than people who are not.
What about the T cells? How much protection does one get from the T cells?
Well, that's another arm of the immune system. The part of the immune system that keeps us from getting infected immediately and neutralizes the virus is the antibody system. And so that's the one to concentrate on in terms of vaccines.
Dr. Golder, what about the latest mask mandates, even for those who are already vaccinated? What's your take on this issue? We're joined by Dr. Barbara Golder, has worked as a hospital pathologist, forensic pathologist, and lab director. She is now an author, blogger, and a speaker, talking about the latest on COVID vaccines and immunization. Dr. Golder, you back with us?
Yes, I'm so sorry. The mask mandates, I think, is what you were asking me about.
Yes, there's a lot of pushback. There's a lot of people who are not real crazy about the idea of going back to the old mask mandates, and we're seeing that particularly in cities like Los Angeles, where it is now, a mandate.
I agree. There's going to be a lot of pushback, because there was a lot of pushback before for several reasons. Some of it was political. Some of it was emotional. Some of it is it's just a pain to wear a mask, particularly in the hot summer months. So I understand that. And there was also the problem of conflicting evidence and conflicting directives that came out of the CDC and out of government offices early on, which made things difficult. And that's unfortunate, but we still have to work with it. Mask mandates, I suspect, are going to happen again. I think they're going to be difficult for people. I think there's going to be pushback, like you say. But we also know that masking and distancing really do help. And if we want to protect ourselves against another huge pandemic with the kinds of deaths that we saw early on, it's something we have to consider doing. Especially in an unvaccinated population.
Dr. Golder, we've heard this phrase, follow the science, from the very beginning of the pandemic. But the question for many is, which science and which expert? Not everybody has the same opinions when it comes to following the science. For example, the schools planning to make children wear masks in the fall, when at the same time the CDC says that children are at very low risk. It causes a lot of confusion among a lot of parents.
It does. And part of the problem is that following the science simply gives you the tools to make decisions. Mask mandates are not science, they're policy decisions. And you have a number of different facts that go into that. Kids are at relatively low risk, although it's rising, for actually getting sick from COVID, but they're very effective carriers of it back home, where they may have family members who are liable to be infected. In fact, one of the nurses at a clinic my husband worked in, exactly that happened. Child went out to school, came home, brought the COVID back to the nurse, who happens to work in a cancer clinic, where she would then take that to immune-suppressed patients. So that's the kind of thinking that is involved in policy. The science has to do with whether or not the kids get COVID or can carry it to somebody else. They're two different things. And so it's important to recognize there's more that goes into a policy decision than just the science.
And Dr. Fauci has recommended and continues to recommend that you wear a mask and social distancing even after you've been vaccinated. A lot of people wonder, why do you need to wear a mask and do social distancing even after you've gotten the vaccine? What's the whole point of the vaccine?
Well, the point of the vaccine is that you don't die. It's that simple. The COVID vaccine prevents serious illness from developing if you get infected with COVID, and you can still get infected. And it seems to also prevent the long-haul COVID symptoms that we see in people. But it doesn't keep you from getting, as I said, because it doesn't have the antibodies in the mucosal surfaces, the nose and mouth. It doesn't keep you from getting infected with the COVID or from passing it on to somebody else. And even though that occurs at a much lower rate, about 25% of the rate of the normal population, it still happens. And that's one of the reasons why that recommendation came out. Now, we also have to remember that I wear my mask to protect you. You wear your mask mostly to protect me, to keep from distributing that virus abroad. So that's why that particular recommendation was made. And again, it's the science is one thing, and then the recommendation of what you do about the science is something different.
Clearly, with less than 50% of Americans fully vaccinated, there's still a lot of people who are concerned about the safety of the vaccines. They question whether or not it's still safe. There's a lot of information out there, and people still are not 100% sure if they should get vaccinated.
I agree. That is definitely the situation that we find ourselves in. Every vaccine has a complication rate. It doesn't matter whether it's the flu vaccine or the COVID vaccine or the polio vaccine. And the complication rate for this is no worse, probably no better, but no worse than other vaccines. The part of the problem we're seeing is that it's getting so much attention and so much publicity that people are concerned out of proportion to what out of proportion to other vaccines because they're hearing more about it. And it's important to keep in mind that the complication rate is much less than the complication rate would be from COVID, the illness itself. So again, that's a decision people have to make on a personal basis, but it is a safe vaccine. It is an effective vaccine, and it is an approved emergency approval vaccine. So I would encourage people to get it. It's really important in preventing spread of this illness, and it's a decision you can talk about with your physician and decide what's best for you.
And what are your thoughts on the vaccine for young people, teenagers, and even kids under 12?
Well, it's not yet recommended for kids that young. We are seeing, as I mentioned, an increase in young people who were not the brunt of the cases in the original wave of the pandemic, getting sick and dying from COVID. So that if you are in an eligible age group to take the vaccine, there are good reasons to take it because we're no longer seeing most of the deaths in old immune-compromised patients. It may be in part because those are the patients who've gotten vaccinated. But we're not seeing those deaths. We're now seeing them in young, relatively healthy people. And that should be of concern.
Final thought, as we see this variant spreading across our country, people are concerned, but they really don't want to go back to the way it was, you know, 6 months ago or last fall. Any words of advice for folks who are concerned, especially about this Delta variant?
Well, I mean, be sensible. We do know some things that work very well. Distancing helps, hand washing helps, masking helps. Those are simple things that anybody can do. The vaccine certainly helps. I encourage people, unless they have a good reason not to get the vaccine, to be vaccinated. But again, it's a personal decision that you should make in conjunction with your physician. And limiting contact is particularly important. It'll become more important as we get into the colder months and we're inside more. In the summer, when we're outside, it's a little bit easier to still socialize and not be in close contact. But those are important things to do, and they really do work to limit the spread of COVID, and that's important. We don't want to see the kind of deaths we did last year this time.
Well, Dr. Golder, thank you so much for being with us to bring some clarity to this issue. There's so many parents and people across our country who are starting to really get concerned when they see the numbers spreading like crazy with this variant across our nation. Thank you, Dr. Golder.
Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Okay. Many blessings to you. Dr. Barbara Golder, hospital pathologist, editor-in-chief of the Lineker Quarterly, the Journal of the Catholic Medical Association. We're going to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, we're going to talk with corporate entrepreneur Juan Carlos Sanchez about how media, technology, and the entertainment industry are shaping our family. Stay with us. There's much more to come on this edition of Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day with the issues that matter most. This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
27 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us on a Monday here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Our number 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, how many of us spend a significant amount of time looking for a good movie or TV show to watch every night or on the weekends? Why are we having so much trouble finding something good to watch? If you go to Netflix, you will find all sorts of poor content that tries to normalize all the wrong things. There's a big need for a virtuous source of entertainment for families in this day and age. And now joining us is Juan Carlos Sanchez to talk about the entertainment alternative for Catholics and other Christians. Juan Carlos is a corporate entrepreneur with a career track record in the international and Hispanic media and entertainment industries, working for brands such as Colgate, Palmolive, Visa, Sony, and NBCU. He's a Catholic father of two and an aficionado triathlete and marathoner who lives in Cooper City, Florida. Good morning, Juan Carlos. Welcome to Morning Air. Great to be with you.
Good morning, John. How are you? Very nice to meet you.
Great to meet you here on the show. Can you give us, first of all, a thumbnail sketch on your media background in the entertainment industry?
Yes, absolutely. I spent half of my career in the advertising agencies, specifically working for Young and Rubicon Brands. And then in the second half of my career, I had the great adventure to be and joy to be working on media and entertainment, specifically working for Sony Pictures and NBC Universal, both in Latin America and here in the U.S. Hispanic.
Juan Carlos, our children it's so important in this day and age as parents. Let's talk about kids. What are kids being exposed to the most these days, in your opinion? Is it the parents' education at home, the classroom, friends, and media? What's your take?
Yes, statistically speaking, there's been a study showing how much time our kids are spending with mass media in general. It's surprising to see the statistics where the average American is spending more than 5 hours exposed to the television. Kids are above and beyond that mark. So they're spending hours and hours, probably 5 to 6 hours a day exposed to television, especially on the weekends. So we might be thinking that we're educating our kids mostly, and our schools are spending most of the time giving them all the values and feeding them all the values. But the reality is that mass media is also present and a big influencer of their lives.
And you're talking about TV stats here. That's not even counting the rest of social media on their iPads and on their phones. I mean, kids in this day and age can be on their tablets, you know, 7-8 hours a day.
Yeah, I think, yeah, as you mentioned, I mean, television has evolved, right? So in the past, we had it delivered to our homes via satellite signal. Now it's just coming in through a cable. So it's TV, it's still TV, it's audiovisual. We're just having the luxury or the benefit, or depending on what type of family you are, you might be being affected by the delivery of this content via the internet or a tablet. So no matter what type of video you're exposed to, or technology or screen you're exposed to, at the end of the day, the effect is the same. you're spending time. And that's the metric we use in the industry, across the entire industry. So the more time you spend attached to the screen, the less time you have available to be enjoying time with your friends, playing out in the playground, playing or reading. So or spending time with your parents. So that's something that is a reality, and it's not the end of the world. We have to, as parents, to be up and fighting for that time, spending time with our kids and making sure that we plan it. It's not to be exposed to media as long as we know how to help our kids on that journey.
Well, we see the numbers. There's all kinds of research out there, as you've alluded to, as far as social media and young kids. How do you think that this is affecting the dynamics of families today?
Yeah, definitely. There's an additional element in parenting that we have to consider in social media, and we have to be cognitive about the patterns and the strength that it brings, and how to be smart about it. So it's just about being aware of the time being spent there. You have the various platforms such as YouTube, for instance, where it's also a TV station. So it's an open source for good or for bad. So we just need to make sure that we have the correct filters at home and that we're permanently monitoring what our kids are being exposed to. Same way in the 70s or 80s, our parents had to be checking out what type of content we were looking at. There's nothing new about that human behavior. It's just the platform that is being used to deliver the content.
Do you think there's a gap today in the marketplace for wholesome content for the family, where parents are looking for Christian type programming that's wholesome, as opposed to some of the garbage that we find today in mass media?
Yeah, content is a matter of taste. So what we've seen here is that there's a good gap and an opportunity to be able to offer content for families and something that is wholesome and where families can come in, be entertained, and be assured that there's not going to be any sort of surprise in the content that is being delivered to the family. So we saw that evidence in the ratings of the content being served in the various television stations across the ecosystem. So definitely we see a very positive reaction of what's happening. We have directly conducted studies nationwide where we have a positive reaction to very wholesome content. With our surprise, I think the mass media and the industry has been in a trajectory of just shocking the audience. And the audience has been somehow, a portion of the audience have been trained to react to that. But through time, there's a segment in the audience that we saw that, hey, they're looking and they're reacting positively when content is good and has values, and it's a wholesome message. It's a message of light. So when that's on, ratings boost. So we clearly saw evidence, quantitative evidence, supporting that there's a good gap for services that want to come in and deliver wholesome content for the family.
888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. If you have an opinion about media in this day and age, how media is affecting our culture, our families, our children, give us a call. In fact, Janice is joining us from La Crosse, Wisconsin. Janice, good morning. Welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Juan Carlos Sanchez.
It. And you're doing a wonderful job, just so you know. You're doing the great questions. I wanted to call before about the vaccination because I'm not getting one. And I don't want to see kids wearing masks. Anyway, that's from the show before, but believe it. So anyway, for now, it is depressing, okay? I'm 72. I can't watch the television. I watch One American News or Fox, Alana Ingram, or maybe EWTN. Can't even watch PBS anymore. They're so far left. I mean, that thing is depressing. I mean, you cannot turn that thing on and not see guns, violence, vulgarity. It's truly depressing. And the other day I thought, oh, dear Lord in heaven, what's the world coming to now? Because this is what they're pumping into this public, Joe Public. I'm sorry. It's like, no wonder we got these people all messed up. And the FCC, like I said, I'm 72. I've been trying for 5 years to get through to those guys. You don't ever get through to them. You should be able to call up. This is disgusting. I said, stop this immorality that you're putting out there for these children and everybody else. Stop it. Oh, you can't get through to them. You can't get through to them. This is a big machine.
Thanks, Janice. Appreciate it. Juan Carlos, your thoughts.
Yes. Family Playland's objective is exactly that, how to give an offer, an option, an alternative to all the vulgarity and, as you mentioned, the brutalization of society. There was a very famous quote given by William Bernbach, the founder of DDB Advertising. I mean, who would thought that an advertising agency was concerned about this in the 1970s, 1980s? And we're 50 years later having this conversation where it's become a reality. And that's exactly what is moving Family Playland. We cannot disconnect from media. We cannot disconnect from the world. And we have to have options. And there's an option here in America now that we're working on, and specifically for the Latino community. But that's something that we have to do some work on. Some of us in the industry have to take that step forward. And that's exactly what we're doing.
And in many ways, this project, Family Playland, is a response to what's going on in our culture with the devaluing content and all the outlets out there. Can you talk about your vision for Family Playland?
Absolutely. Children are the guardians of innocence, and Family Playland is that space where families can come in. Obviously, the mom that is working at home, it's preoccupied to deliver a tool or a space where kids can be formed correctly or entertained with the correct type of content. So we're just thinking about her in this country, how to give her options for her kids to be entertained, whether it's comedy or whether it's drama or any type of movie or film. The promise is this content has to be wholesome. And wholesome means it has to be solid rock based on the natural law. So that's not a big, very difficult thing to do. That's something that is PG-13 or the current ratings are not capturing. They're just checking on the age, but we're going deeper into that offer. We're trying to filter in all the content that is as wholesome as possible and that respects the commandments. It's as simple as that. And again, regardless of genre, we'll be able to put that and curating this for the audience.
There's other good options out there. PureFlix formed as an example. How will Family Playland be a little different than those other outlets? And when are you launching it?
Yes. So our unique selling proposition is that we're delivering and we're focusing on the Hispanic families, Spanish and English. Or an American family that just wants to be exposed to the Spanish language or English. So that's something that we are conscious of doing and differentiating. The second thing that we're offering in the platform is a space for up-and-coming producers to find an option to place their content. Quite frankly, right now in the media jungle, it's very difficult for an up-and-coming producer to get a good exposure for their content. So we will be focusing on those up-and-coming wholesome content that sometimes do not make the cut in very different, in the very various alternatives or outlets are out there. We're focusing on launching. We're at full speed, looking to launch this in fourth quarter of this year. We already have a prototype. We are ready to go. We're just in the stage of raising funds and capital, and at the same time securing all the content that is going to be necessary to deliver a sustainable offer.
Sounds like a tremendous venture and a great opportunity for families to find something wholesome to be able to watch. Where can folks find out more about the Family Playland and support this project?
John, I will leave all my information with you. As I mentioned, we haven't launched. We're in testing and prototype stages. So definitely, if your audience can get in touch with your station, that would be fantastic. And once we're launched, hopefully we get a second chance to come in here to the program and talking more exactly where people need to be land once we're ready to launch.
Absolutely. You have to keep us posted. Juan Carlos Sanchez, thank you so much for being with us here this morning on Morning Air.
John, thank you to you and your audience. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Many blessings to you and your project. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, Bishop Brendan Cahill of the Diocese of Victoria, Texas, will be with us to talk about St. Joseph, a man of dreams, a man of action. Don't change that dial. Much more to come on this edition of Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
45 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air on a Monday. I'm John Morales. Good to be with you once again on this, the Feast of St. Anne and Joachim. Coming up a little bit later this half hour, we'll bring you another episode of Glenn's Story Corner. Now, every morning you hear me invoke St. Joseph during our opening prayer each hour, especially in this year of St. Joseph. St. Joseph is the patron of the Universal Church, the patron saint of husbands, of fathers, the patron saint of families, of homes, the patron saint of workers. St. Joseph is the unofficial patron against doubt and hesitation and of a happy death. He was also a man of dreams and a man of action. And now joining us to talk about St. Joseph is His Excellency Bishop Brendan Cahill. Bishop Cahill is the third bishop of the Diocese of Victoria, Texas. He serves as a member of the USCCB Subcommittee on African American Affairs and as a consultant for the USCCB's Pro-Life Committee. Your Excellency, Bishop Cahill, welcome back to Morning Air. It's a joy to be with you once again.
Good morning, John. Thank you so much. It's great to be on with you again, and for all your listeners as well, to be here.
Well, we are big fans of St. Joseph here at Relevant Radio. In fact, I've got a beautiful statue right in front of me right here in the studio to always remind me of Go to Joseph. St. Joseph was a man of dreams. God spoke to him in his dreams, and he followed his dreams. Excellency, can you talk about some of these dreams that St. Joseph had?
Sure, and let me give a little background just personally for the devotion to cultivate, you know, our personal devotion to St. Joseph. You know, Father Calloway, who, first time I saw Father Calloway in a video was promoting the Rosary, Power in My Hands, a powerful video. Again, if people are looking for positive content for family viewing or family devotion, it's Power in My Hands is about devotion to the Rosary, devotion to Mary, how that can transform your life. And I remember seeing this video, and we showed all around the diocese, movie theaters, things like that, and have had a Rosary Congress and really focusing devotion to Mary. And then after maybe two or three years ago, we really focused on that, praying the Rosary. Pope John, St. John Paul II in his, you know, Rosarium Virginae Mariae, where he talked about pray specifically for peace and pray for the family, two specific intentions for the Rosary. And so we devoted that Marian devotion, that growing and developing. And then I saw Father Calloway had another book that was on St. Joseph and a consecration to St. Joseph. And so for myself, and I encourage other people in the diocese as well to consider making a consecration to St. Joseph. And in his book, you know, consecration takes you 30-some days, you know, you go through every day doing a litany to St. Joseph, reflecting on an aspect of St. Joseph's life, respecting like one day on the dreams, one day on the activity. And some of the aspects that Father Calloway brought out, I just want to share because it helped me personally, it's helped people in our diocese to turn to St. Joseph as well. One thing becomes real clear in his book, to consecrate yourself to St. Joseph is in no way taken away from your consecration to Mary. You know, it's not like you're competing one against another, because obviously Joseph, the guardian protector of the family, and obviously loved Mary more than others in the world, protected her, protected the family, and go through the different aspects of his life. You get a sense of a man of dreams and a man of action, and the man of dreams open to the Word of God, a just man. And you can just see from the very beginning when, you know, he's asked to take Mary in, or to go to Egypt, or, you know, the regular ritual of the family going from Nazareth to Jerusalem every year. Jesus knew the temple because Joseph, a faithful Jew, would take and lead the family in prayers and lead them to to the temple, and you begin to read the scripture and understand that Jesus, he understood himself, God made man, would understand a lot of our experiences through Joseph sharing with him. It could be in the carpenter shop. It could be with the people that they're dealing with. It could be whatever. And Father Calloway's book, so I guess I'm doing a plug for a book, but Father Calloway's book, I thought was excellent. It kind of opened my eyes to a deeper understanding of Joseph, where I felt I always had the devotion, but even further on. So with that, I encourage that book because it encourages focusing on St. Joseph, consecrating yourself to him and to Mary as well, and with that, to gain a great trust. A couple other things about the devotion that stand out to me, the different titles. One is Terror of Demons, that Joseph, you get an image of, I guess spiritually, but I mean, when Joseph left and took the family to Egypt, I almost pictured in my mind spiritually, he's carrying a lantern, the light, and going through the terrifying valley of darkness and all the evil and the killing of the innocents and all the things that were going on, and going to a foreign land, having to settle, you know, you don't know the customs, you don't know the language, and settle and protect a family. And he did. And when he came back, that he took the risk to come back because he knew that's where God was leading him. The strength. Father Calloway, in his book, he likes to emphasize that Joseph, in his theory, we have a tradition, we think Joseph as an elderly man. He said Joseph must have been young and strong. Just the fact of the movement of leading the family, you know, from Bethlehem to Egypt, from Egypt back to Nazareth, you know, all the festivals going back from Nazareth, going down the valley, going up to Jerusalem every year. You get a picture of someone more energetic and strong and masculine and protecting the family. So the dreams are just part of being open to God's will and serving above all God. There's one God who made heaven and earth, and not to serve other gods or serve anything earthly, but to serve God is our duty and our salvation.
Your Excellency, Bishop Cahill, I see the connection between St. Joseph here in the New Testament and the St. Joseph of the Old Testament in Genesis that we have read in recent weeks in Mass. Both of them were men of dreams.
Yes, both in a way that God communicates to the individual. For us in our prayer lives, because I think trying sometimes to encourage people with prayer, sometimes we feel like, well, is God speaking? Do I understand God? How do I interpret God? And our belief is that God can speak to us, and there's a way in which we open our hearts to God. And certain saints, obviously, they have the gift of, I mentioned St. John Paul II as well. St. John Paul II, his mysticism that, in a sense, is openness to God. And St. Joseph, both in Old and New Testament, are men who understood God's will and understood and heard the voice of God. And I think for myself, my daily life, I think part of it is for me to take away distractions from God and focus on the most important. And the most important thing at the end of life is serving the Lord your God who made you. And so in a way to clear my mind, to focus on God. And so that's where, I guess for myself, I encourage devotionals. I encourage the quiet time of prayer, faithfulness to Mass and the Rosary, what the Church gives us. Because I think as part of the Catholic Church, we have a beautiful tradition of our sacraments, a tradition of spiritual prayers and devotions we can offer. And as we do so, we open ourselves more to God, revealing in our lives the direction we should take.
Excellency, I find it fascinating that St. Joseph never says a single word in sacred scripture in the Gospels. He's not a man of words, but he definitely was a man of action.
That's perfect. As we talk about, you said the man of dreams, man of action, is that, and again, Father Calloway, I keep talking about his book because it really helped me a lot. But he talked about that, like, he just emphasized that he must have been really strong, because just physically what you know he did, but he never said a word about look what I'm doing or drawing attention to himself or the things that, you know, as human beings, you know, that sometimes we want to draw attention to ourselves, like, oh, look at me, or no one recognizes me, or whatever. He just did what God wanted him to do. And for us to recognize that as the protector of our church, that in a sense, the man of action and his actions were just and merciful. That in a sense, some of the things that say go beyond, that it was like the mercy he would show, but his faithfulness to the law of God as well. That's another thing that comes up, the sense that, you know, the mystery of the hidden life of Jesus, in a way, focusing on it, you can realize Jesus went to the temple a lot. It's not like he just showed up, and it was part of their tradition and their faith, the synagogue and the temple.
Well, we have a little less than 2 minutes. If you can give us your thoughts on the great example that St. Joseph has shown all of us when it comes to following God's will, even when there is doubts and when there's hesitation.
Yeah, maybe a couple of things. I appreciated, you know, I was able to listen in on the show leading up to mine, the Family Playland, and I think for us, in our culture, but any culture, to say what we place our attention on. And so to think of Joseph as a faithful man of the Word of God who trained his family in Scripture, and obviously Jesus is Son of God, Son of Mary, and Jesus, obviously his knowledge is exceptional, but we say that Joseph, as the head of a family, would have had his family and led them in daily prayers. So as a human, Jesus would have been learning a father's love and leading the prayers at the meals and leading the prayers at and going to synagogue and leading the family. So for a man, for a father to realize his role as a leader of prayer in the family and to look at good content that you expose your family to. He probably protected them from what would be, he would protect his child. And so in a sense, to be a protector of the family. And so I think that's, you know, start off with that a great model for our families to give us protection, a saint interceding for us, a model who can guide us in our daily activities. And then you think, Father, with Mary, that as praying for our married couples, the challenges that everybody faces, that they faced incredible challenges in their culture at their time, and to remain faithful and focusing on one another and caring for one another. I think many practical ways. What I love, I guess, about St. Joseph is focusing on the practical ways I can be better and more focused on God, more focused on my family. For me, more focused on the priests and the religious and the people of Victoria, and to pray for his protection for our area and his guidance leading us forth.
Well, we've run out of time, Bishop Cahill. Thank you so much, Your Excellency, for giving us some perspective on St. Joseph. We love St. Joseph. We need to meditate and continue to meditate on his life here in this year of St. Joseph. Thank you so much for being with us.
God bless you, John. My prayers for you and for all the listeners. Pray for St. Joseph to be our protector and our guide, to help us be more open to the will of God and the voice of God in our lives, and to be bold and moving forward in our lives, bringing the light of Christ, salvation to the nations. So pray for God's blessing on all of you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you so much. His Excellency Bishop Brendan Cahill, Bishop of the Diocese of Victoria, Texas. And now it's time for another Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called A Stable Foundation. It's by Andrew Solway. The tallest building in the world, the Burj Khalifa in Dubai, rises more than 2,700 feet, over half a mile tall. It has 160 floors and is twice as tall as the Empire State Building in New York City. It's home to the world's fastest elevator, traveling at 40 miles an hour. The Burj Khalifa also hosts the world's highest outdoor observation deck on the 124th floor and the world's highest swimming pool on the 76th floor. But the secret to the stability of this massive building is found underground. Before construction began to rise up, workers spent a year digging and pouring the massive foundation that supports the building. The foundation contains some 58,900 cubic yards of concrete weighing more than 110,000 tons. The building is safe because the foundation is solid. Godly and righteous living is important as a matter of obedience, but there are also many wonderful benefits that follow as a result. When we live according to God's principles of wisdom, we receive His blessing, but we also establish a firm foundation for our lives and our families. From Matthew 7, 24 through 27, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash."
Thanks so much, Glenn. Don't change that dial. Much more to come next hour here on Morning Air.